Okay, guys, so today we have an amazing testimony to share. This is Daniel. He is my friend, and he is an amazing man of God. He is going to be sharing his story on how God transformed his life. He is an ex-homosexual and was supernaturally delivered. So I am just going to give the floor to Daniel. So Daniel, what is your testimony?
Bless everybody. Oh my goodness. So my testimony is such a, like a big statement, and like, no pressure, just share me your entire life, right? But I'm actually really excited. It's actually funny because a lot of people in church, they shy away from like testimonies like these, or you kind of hardly hear about stuff like this in church because people might not have the best way of how to explain these things.
Right.
I remember growing up in church. I'm 30, by the way. You know, just to say these little details and get them out the way. It was like, I was like 17 years old when I decided to fully give my life to Christ and like go the right path. And it has not been the easiest. Obviously I've messed up since then. Nobody's perfect. But it's definitely been a journey. So sharing my testimony. Okay. So, my name is Daniel. I've been in church for a while. I'm a worship leader at my church. I go to missions trips. I teach, I preach, I do conferences. These are all the things that I do. But at the end of the day, like everyone has their story and everyone has their areas where they struggle with. And same-sex attractions was actually the area of my struggle. And it's crazy because sometimes people are like, that's crazy. Why would God allow you to struggle with that? And two things. One is that God does not tempt people. Temptation is things that the enemy throws at you. And sometimes God would permit certain things to happen to you. And he's aware because they condition you. Kind of like when you're working out and you're conditioning your strength and you're conditioning your physique so that you can endure more.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes God in his omniscience, meaning that he knows everything. And because he's omnipresent, he's present in your past, present, and your future. He knows that there are certain things that are going to work for your good. Because in the same Bible, it says that all things work together for the good of those that believe in him.
Yes.
And that are called according to his purpose. And so I'm called according to his purpose. You're called according to his purpose. You're called according to his purpose. And it's funny because people, I think the biggest thing about this whole thing, and then we'll get into the whole meat of the testimony, is that people just need to change their perspective. You know, if people have this perspective of why me, then you're never going to see that you have a personal invitation from the Lord to see his hand at work in your life. And so I had to change my perspective to be like, you know what? I no longer want to be a victim, and I'm going to just allow this to be an experience where I get to see God work in my life in a supernatural way that nobody else has the opportunity like me, but I do. And so anyways, if it wasn't because I knew the Bible, I would say that I was born this way. We'll get a little bit more on that topic later. You know, I grew up with same-sex attractions, to be very honest. I remember I was in kindergarten, and we were having little crisscross applesauce time on the carpet, which meaning, you know, you sit with your legs crossed. And I remember when I leaned back on my hands, my fingers tips touched the boy's fingertips next to me, and I just felt like butterflies, and I was like, what's wrong? Like, I like this feeling. At the same time, it's just like, I also felt like I needed to hide it. Key. Very key. You know, growing up, I was in daycare, and I would sneak into the bathroom, and I would do little pop kisses with other boys. And again, felt like I naturally, without even knowing that it was a sin, like I felt like it was something I had to hide. And it's interesting how your body is naturally wired to like hide your shame. And if it's something that's shameful, it must mean that it's something that's bad. And so it's funny because people in society, they're all about love is love and love wins and just do what you feel like doing. But when you're a Christian and you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, there's moments where you feel like you need to, you should live a little bit more aligned to this holy walk. The Bible says to walk according to the call of your purpose, to the purpose. And so walk according to the call, I'm sorry. And so like, if you're called, you are called to live according to a different set of standards. And we were talking earlier before the video, and we were talking about how sometimes a lot of Christian people do a lot of risque things, you know? And the Bible might not have said that it was a sin or certain things, but it does say to guard yourself from the appearance of sin. And it says also to not be a stumbling block for others that might not have a level of maturity that you have. Anyways, growing up, I always had these same-sex attractions all through elementary. I was molested when I was a kid, and I had a family member. I've also had like different friends you know, doing sneaky things to me. And when I was 11, I was actually raped by my neighbor. And it's something that I'm not ashamed of sharing. In the Bible, it says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so I would hate to feel like I have to be muzzled and ashamed of my testimony when it's power. It literally is power. And the Bible says it's in the book of Revelations. It's the way we overcome. We already overcame by the blood of the Lamb, but we also overcome by this testimony. And so I was 11 and I was raped by my neighbor. That's a whole different story. You guys could DM me about it. It's okay. I'll talk to you about it. And it opened up my sexual appetite. Going into middle school and high school, I was very free with all my experiences and sexual encounters with same sex and with the opposite sex, but mostly with the same sex. And I remember that as I was just growing up, I also grew up in church. So I did feel like it was something I couldn't share with anybody. It was something that was shameful. But at the same time, it was also something that that I felt like no one understood. And I love my father now, but I didn't grow up with him. I didn't have nobody correcting me in the right path. You know, I also grew up with a God-fearing mom, but also she didn't know about all the things that were happening to me and the things that I was involving myself in. And I remember I was in high school and I was just here and there and there and here and back and forth and upside down. I was just doing it all. And I thank God that it was a house service that I was in. It was my uncle. My uncles are pastors, and my uncle and his wife are pastors. And so they had invited a missionary that is from Africa. And she's from here, but she got sent to Africa and she was back in the States just getting her funds together. And she basically was the one that was invited to preach that night. And it was a house service. So for those that have had house services, it's literally just worship with a boombox, preaching, and depending on the Holy Spirit to show up and manifest. And I remember that she was preaching, and she was a heavy set woman. And I say this with no pun intended, but when she got up from her seat and she made steps towards me, I felt like there were shockwaves in the spirit. And this is with all respect. And when she walked up towards me, I felt like something in me was like getting uneasy, and I was getting like a little bit like nervous. And I was like, holy crap, what is about to happen? And she came up to me and she touched my forehead and she said, "Spirit, be loosened." And I fell on the floor and I had my deliverance from all of these things. I was 17 years old. And I remember that people said that I was screaming and crying. I don't remember any of that. I just remember in my head, I was envisioning myself in like a black room with a spotlight on top of me, and I was crying and crying, and you know those big chains that hold down ships, like cruise ships, those big yes. huge chains that anchor them down. I saw myself wrapped around them and they were just falling on the floor, and I heard the clanking and them sliding off of me, and I was like, wow. And so that happened, and ever since then I said, you know what, I want to live my life for the Lord. And you know, then I was like, I also got married, and I felt like that was the biggest slap in the face to the enemy. And you know, just different things along the process. But let's backtrack. So in high school, I am not who you see today. There might be some little residue here and there of an old life, but it's just evidence that God actually took me out of something. Mm-hmm. I used to be ashamed of these things. But I had crazy mannerisms. The tone of my voice was crazy high. The way I dressed was very different. The way I walked, the way I acted. And, you know, things like, instead of referring to like me, I now refer to me. Or like, oh yeah, that person over there. It was like, yeah, that person over there. And it was like different things that the Holy Spirit started changing. I remember I was dressing up one day, and I used to dress with like scarves around my neck and like super tight skinny jeans. And one day the Holy Spirit said, change that. And I was like, okay, it might not be a big deal for somebody because it's not a sin. It's not a sin to wear a scarf and skinny jeans. But I feel like the intention behind it was to be promiscuous. The intention behind it was a different thing than some of you might be dressing it with. And so I had to change myself. I had to be different. And I remember the one day I was walking, and I make this joke all the time that I was sashaying harder than Beyonce down the street, going to the corner store with my friends in high school. And I saw my shadow and how my hips were moving, and the Holy Spirit said, change the way you walk. And I was like, what? And I was like, how? And I was like trying to walk all stiff. But it was literally the Holy Spirit that taught me. There was no one that really pushed me to be straight. It was just the Holy Spirit in me. And I want to share something, you know, people that are struggling with homosexual desires and attractions, the goal is not to be straight. I know that messes with people's theology. The goal is not to be straight. The goal is to fall in love with Jesus so much to the point where you want to live a life that pleases him. So like a relationship, you're going to sacrifice behaviors. You're going to sacrifice certain things that don't please the Lord so that you could live a life that's pleasing to him. Mm. And I promise you the reward is sweet. And you might think, I'm not doing what I love. I'm not doing what I want. And none of that matters. When you love God so much, there comes a point where it's like, you know what? Like, let's do this. You know, let's do this. And it's been difficult. Like I was sharing before, like, I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. Paul says that, you know, I'm one of the worst sinners in all of you guys. And I agree. Me too. You know, like, me too. And I'm sure we can all relate. But at the same time, like, there comes a time where it doesn't matter what you messed up in. When you realize that God's love for you is unrelenting and it's just consistently pouring out over you, and he consistently wants to use you regardless of your mess, because who else, if not you, is going to be used to release his glory in this world? You are his hands, you're his mouth, you're his eyes, his ears, and God desires to use you. And you and I represent an access to a divine and supernatural God, and no one else is going to know this Jesus if it's not for us. And so he consistently wants to use you, and he wants to, and all of your sins are already paid for and covered for with the blood of Jesus. And so, so I got married, you know, I've been married for 4 years. It's been amazing. And you know, obviously nothing's perfect. We've had struggles here and there. And, but I feel like these little things are the biggest slap in the face to the devil. When no one thought that this was going to happen and no one thought that I was ever going to come. I remember I have high school friends now that are just like, you're married or you're straight. You go to church. And I was like, yeah, I'm a worship leader now. And I'm always this like spunky and fun. It's not new, but yeah, I feel like there is a difference. There's a joy that I have. And, whether people are jealous of it or understand it or not, it really doesn't matter. I know what I experience in the Lord, and yeah, so that's the gist of my story.
Wow.
In like 30 seconds, not really. It was like 5 to 10 minutes, but.
No, that was so powerful, Daniel. Thank you for being vulnerable, because honestly, like, people need to hear this, right? I mean, we need to hear this. Especially in our day and age. So that's powerful, because you're choosing God over the things that your flesh wants.
Yeah.
You know, and Jesus could have stayed in heaven, in an air-conditioned heaven,
right,
with angels
and glory clouds,
but he did what was not desirable to the flesh.
Right.
He came and he died for you. Love is a decision. Love is a choice. Love is a sacrifice. Love is not just a feeling. It is a commitment. It is a commitment.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what you did, Daniel, and that shows your love for God. And
amen.
That's amazing. So I want to ask you a few questions.
This is
for
my
the
favorite
people.
Part. Yes. I know. It's my favorite part.
Because everybody has these questions, right?
Right.
So how do you just stop being attracted to the same sex?
That is amazing. I love that. Also, half of my Bible verses for the people that are on the other side of this video are on my phone that we're using to record. So this is going to be off of my head. But how do you stop being attracted to the same sex? You know, it's something that, like I was saying earlier, the goal, you know, I know it's controversial, but the goal is not being straight and like, let me stop liking men, or if women, let me stop liking women. And that's not the goal. The goal is to just love the Lord so much to the point where you get to this place where you just want to love God so much that all of these other things don't even matter. And the Holy Spirit begins to fill you with his presence. You know, when you're in his presence, you don't be thinking about no type of sin, you know? And I actually know friends today that still struggle with an attraction, but they want to honor the Lord so much to the point where they will refrain themselves for as long as they live in this flesh, So their reward is when they get to heaven.
Yes.
And so for me, it was a little different, but in the sense that, you know, I did get married and stuff, and God did restore those attractions. I asked the Holy Spirit to please, if he made me a man and he made me with that wiring of a man, then I have attractions towards women and you just have to restore them. And I'm very bold with the Lord. I kind of like put it in his face. I'm like, Lord, this is what you created. You created man and you created woman. I didn't do this. And your word says for them to be fruitful and multiply, meaning they're attracted to each other. And I don't feel that. So you have to some sort of way figure this out for me. And because I'm already here in church, I'm already committed, I already want to serve you. And so little by little, I remember when I was in high school, I did not like girls like that. I didn't. I thought that they were disgusting, no offense. They were beautiful creatures, but they were just not my cup of tea. And but as I grew older, I remember the first time I saw a girl and I was like, attractive, you know, and I was shocked. I was like, I don't think like that. But and I just noticed that I just began to notice how the Lord was working in my life and restoring things that I never thought were possible. And so it's how do you stop being attracted to the same sex? I would say that it's not about you to stop being attracted to the same sex. It's you being so attracted to his presence that his presence transforms you. You know, the Bible says to be renewed, let the thinking of your mind be renewed by reading the word and being in his presence, and it transforms you. There's transformation that happens in his presence. There's no way that you could be in his presence and that nothing happens. If you're in his presence, something has to take place. It's what he says. It's not what I'm saying. It's not what she's saying. It's literally what his word says. So you kind of just have to take him at his word. If you don't believe him for his word, which as Christians, we should believe that the Bible is infallible and everything that it says is true. Mm-hmm. If you don't take him for his word, then you think that someone is believing the lie, and usually it's you, because yes, you think that he's lying and it's not the truth.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so good. That is so good. Yes. Okay. The next question people are probably asking, do you still have same sex attraction?
Absolutely. All the time. And I say it so bluntly like that because do people still struggle with pornography? Yes, they do. Do people still have sometimes a little itch to go back to their drugs or their alcohol all the time? It's something that you're going to deal with all the time. But there comes a place where you live in a constant surrender to the Lord. You take those thoughts captive, which is what the Bible says, and you bring them into submission to the Lord, into obedience to the Lord. And so it's not about like, I'm never gonna be like or deal with anything this again, because then you're gonna be disappointed when you have those feelings again. And you'll be like, I'm not delivered. And the Lord didn't really truly minister to my life. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But the enemy's also operating, right? Mm-hmm. And the same way that the Lord is consistently working, the enemy is not taking no breaks or days off either. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that the enemy desires to sift you as wheat. And we know also that the purpose of the enemy is to rob, kill, and destroy. He wants to rob you of your identity when it comes to this subject. He wants to kill you spiritually, mentally, physically, literally. And he wants to destroy you, destroy your purpose, destroy your mission, destroy your drive. Mm. And so that's why I said that there comes a point where you have to change your perspective. And so do I still have same-sex attractions? Yes, I do. Just like any heterosexual man that looks at an attractive woman and has to immediately look away, I do the same thing.
Exactly.
Or a woman that sees an attractive man, because we're not going to fake the funk and act like women don't have battles with lust, because yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. Yes, and, they so, do. And so, you know, there comes a point where you have to submit those thoughts to Christ. And don't be discouraged because you had the thought. Be encouraged because there's still a Jesus that is still liberating you from these things daily. And the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. There's a reason why. If they were not new every morning, you'd still be in sin and he'd still be angry at you. But he desires to have mercy in you again tomorrow morning and the morning after that. So, yes, I do have the same-sex attractions, but I came to a point where it's just like, nope. And as you grow and you learn to, I read a book that's called, there was a chapter called The Bouncing of the Eyes. And it was like, it basically was talking about like when you see something, you immediately just deflect. When you see, immediately deflect. And you consistently live this way. So like, I've conditioned myself, just like working out, I've conditioned myself to immediately when something like that happens, my mind, my thoughts, my eyes just deflect. And I just keep pushing and I don't even let it just brush off. Mm. Keep pushing.
Come on. Daniel, you are so good. This is amazing. This is so good. This is fire, guys.
I know. I'm excited. I'm excited.
This is fire. This is so good. Okay. Is the temptation, keyword temptation, to have same-sex attraction a sin?
No. I don't think it is. We live in this flesh that, in a society that is so perverted. Like, I'll say an example and I'll just be blunt. You know, you can't say, you could be talking about, you know, sports balls, but because you say balls, people just think of the wrong thing. Or you could think of, I don't know, and I know that's probably funny for some people, but it's true. Like, we live in a society where we've been so, you know, what's the word, toxified or toxic
bombarded
and polluted, and yeah, where like everything is perverted, everything is twisted. And so temptation's always going to be around. Would you act on the temptation?
That's the point.
Mm-hmm. And just like I was saying, like, I could be tempted with, like, there's funny, have you ever seen the movie Pitch Perfect?
I've heard of it.
Okay, you need to watch it. You're missing out on life. Okay, this is a cappella singing movie, and there's one of the actresses that are there, and she's just like, hey, this guy was like, hey, let's go do, you know, something, you know, immoral. And he was like, and then the girl, the actress, she was like, maybe not. And she's like, sometimes I think, like, I should do crack, but then I'm just like, maybe not. It was funny because it's like, you're going to have crazy thoughts. That's just the truth. But would you act on them? That's the key point. And so, like, sometimes, yeah, I have all these temptations all the time. I have temptations not only for homosexual things. Like, sometimes I'm like, you know what? Like, I want to go with my friends and party too. I want to be relevant because you're wired to want to be accepted because we're created for community.
Yes.
And so that's why when people are feeling rejected, they want to go out and go have parties and go drink and stuff because they need that relationship. Yes. And they have it horizontally when they need to have it vertically. And so, yes, temptation's gonna be there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a sin to think of the thoughts. I don't think it's a sin to feel the thoughts. That's why the Bible says to resist the devil and he will flee. Resist him because he's always going to come at you. But if you resist, he'll flee. And it didn't say if you resist, you're sinning. It said, please resist him so that he can flee. And so I feel like as you're resisting is when the enemy begins to retreat. And there comes a point where the enemy knows that he can't get you in that area anymore. Like, I don't struggle with certain things that other people struggle with. Like, for example, I have a friend that might struggle with worldly music. I can hear a song here and there and it doesn't affect me. But maybe to my friend, it reminds him or her of that time in their life or certain things that triggers them. And I don't have that struggle. And so, you know, the enemy, there comes a point where you, but maybe when I was a teenager, maybe, you know, Usher and Beyonce and R. Kelly might have had a little influence on me, but not anymore, you know? And so there comes a point in life when you're, as you mature, because we should be maturing in the Lord every day, that those things don't matter anymore.
Mm-mm.
And so I don't think temptation is a sin. I just think that acting upon it is. And also, don't let it linger. Don't lie to yourself and say, just because temptations let us in, I'm going to let the temptation linger in my mind. Because there's a battlefield of the mind, and you need to be careful with that too.
Yes, not dwelling on it. Deflecting, taking that, say, I take that thought captive in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Out loud or in your mind, right away.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There was something I was going to ask, but let's get to the juicy question here that everybody's wondering.
Oh, man.
Will living a homosexual lifestyle lead me to hell?
So that's a question that a lot of people in church, especially pastors, some pastors, not all, there are some bold few. They sometimes go around and beat around the bush. But the crazy thing is that these are not our words. You know, these are God's words through, you know, written in written form. And sometimes people would want to beat around the bush and they'd want to save everybody from being offended from this God when you're not the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict them. They probably feel convicted because it's God's word already.
Yes.
There's many other things besides living a homosexual lifestyle and practicing it that would lead you to hell, not just homosexuality.
Yeah.
And people are always stuck on the homosexual part of it. But, like, you being a womanizer, hell. like fornication, yeah. whether it's fornicating or whether it's because you're married and you're being an adulterer, like there's a list of things. And it's funny, I heard this thing once, and it said, would you let a thief come in your home?
No.
No. Would you let a murderer come in your home?
No.
And so heaven is a holy place, and God would not allow these things in his holy heaven. It's a list of things. Homosexuality is part of the list. It's not that he's rejecting you, he's rejecting the sin. And so back to the point where I want to live a life that pleases God. Like, if you decide to be a Christian, you decided to be in a relationship. I'll say that again. If you decided to be a Christian, you decided to be in a commitment with Jesus. And part of that commitment is sacrificing things. Think about it as a regular relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend or your husband and wife. There are things that, babe, I don't like that you do that. Okay, I'm gonna stop. Babe, I don't like when you wear these shirts. Okay, let me stop. Mm. Or babe, I don't like this bad habit. You leave the toilet seat up, or you don't close the cap on the toothpaste. There are things that the Lord doesn't like. Mm. And if you wanna live a life that's for him for an eternity that pleases him, you should probably stop acting on some of your sinful things. One of them just happens to be homosexuality. And he listed homosexuality. He said that, you know, the drunkard, the fornicator, the gossiper, not just people that are doing crazy things, the gossiper, the person that has, you know, ill intentions, the murderer, I probably said that already, but the point is, but it also goes into comma, and those who practice homosexuality. There's versions in the Bible that says the effeminate, meaning for someone that's feminine. They won't even inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's not my word, it's God's word. And so our job is to be like, okay, check. Let me work on these things, and let me submit this to the Lord and challenge him. Like, he's there for a reason. Like, challenge him. God, I don't want this. Your word says that if we ask, we shall receive. If we seek, we will find. And we knock on the door, it will be open unto us. So we're knocking on the door for you to respond. We're seeking for you so that we can find you and answers. And we're asking you for deliverance. And he's going to respond with deliverance. Mm. And so I do believe that a homosexuality life would lead you to hell. But you don't have to go to hell. You can change your life today.
Yes.
You can change your life right now. It's just a matter of repentance and you turning away from your sin and coming back to his path and his ways and living a life that would honor him. And you don't have to be perfect, because I'm not.
No, I'm not either.
Jackie's definitely not. No, I'm just kidding.
I definitely am not.
I'm definitely not either. But, you know, we've come to a point where we genuinely love the Lord. Yes. And amen.
Yeah, and we want to please him, and we want to obey him, not because we're afraid of hell.
Yeah.
But because we love him.
Yeah, that part. To say 2 seconds of a sentence, it's true. A lot of people are so stuck on, like, I don't want to go to hell. Like, don't worry about hell. Like, I don't want to live a life apart from God. Like, to not have his presence. Like, after you get to know his presence, especially those people that have gone to church that are watching this video and have stepped away from church, you know you've had an encounter with the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
You can't deny it. You're not crazy. Do you think you're crazy? I mean, you probably think you're crazy, because I think I'm crazy. But I know that you think that you're rational. And what you felt is real at that one point at that church. And I don't know why I'm saying this, if I'm speaking to someone.
Yeah.
You know what you felt was real at that one point in your life. And so he is a real thing. He's a real person. The Holy Spirit is a real person. And he wants to have a relationship with you. You know what's funny is, like, you might not want to live a life without him, and he also doesn't want to live a life without you. And that's why he loves you, and he misses you. He misses hearing your voice, and misses hearing your worship, and misses his time with you and his presence. And so just come back.
Yeah, absolutely. His arms are wide open. Doesn't matter if it's been 10 years.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's been 2 years, 3 years. He wants you back. He is your father. He loves you. And it's like the prodigal son. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you did. Just come home.
Come home.
I wanted to read a few of the Bible verses talking about homosexuality, because a lot of people say, oh, homosexuality is not in the Bible. You know, we saw pastors like Carl Lentz, who, when asked about homosexuality, a lot of people don't want to touch, a lot of pastors don't want to touch the subject because they don't want people to leave their seats. Listen, this is the truth, and we cannot omit the truth. This is God's word, and we love homosexuals. We love homosexuals.
Yes, we do. We also love the drunkards and the womanizers. Don't get so stuck up on the vocabulary.
Exactly. Liars go to the same hell that homosexuals go to.
Ay, santo. About to have my Spanish roots come out.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So, let's just talk about some of the things. So I'm gonna start with the Old Testament, okay? And I know y'all are gonna be like, "What? This is the Old Testament,
right.
New Covenant. This is different, Jackie." Okay, I'm gonna get into the New Testament after that. So Leviticus 18:22, Old Testament. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. So right there we see, and lie is referring to having sex with,
yeah.
Right? Romans 1:26-28. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions.
That is crazy. That you would have crazy, twisted passions to the point where God is like, you know what? I'm going to give you up to this because you obviously don't want to deal with me anymore.
You want to do it your way?
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. And sometimes we feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit so much. And that's a gift to have God still be like, hey, come back.
Yeah.
Hey, this isn't okay. Hey, I can help you. I can change you. I can move in you.
Yeah.
I can help you overcome the sin. When we ignore that, it's kind of like when you have new shoes,
mm-hmm.
and as you're walking, it's hurting you,
yeah.
in the back, right? And you start getting a blister. And it stops hurting. It's your body's mechanism so that it'll stop hurting because you keep wearing the shoes. So now it doesn't hurt anymore. The longer that you walk in a sin,
you become desensitized to it.
You become desensitized to it and you harden your heart. And the Bible says,
that's tough.
Do not harden your heart when you hear the voice of the Lord. And the day that you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Come to him.
Yeah.
He will change you. So for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions,
yeah.
for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. It's not natural.
Yeah.
A man and a woman don't make, or a man and a man don't make a baby, and a woman don't make a baby. If everybody was homosexual, honey, we would cease to exist as a human race.
Yeah.
It's just the truth. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error.
Thanks.
And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, listen to this, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what not ought to be done.
Yeah.
At that point, you deceived yourself. You're blinded by darkness.
I love how it said that God gave them up because they were consumed with passion for other men. And I want to tell you, I don't know if we're going to go into this next or not, but I'll go there. Passion is not love.
Mm.
And a lot of people, especially in the LGBTQ community, the LGBTQ+ community, they're consumed with passion.
Mm.
And passion is not love. And I think that people are trying to replace traumatic experiences in their life with passion. And because you guys have things in common, doesn't mean that you guys are... I believe that you can fall in love with a person. I want to say this, and this is also controversial. Thank you. I've been in relationships with men. Breaking up is a real thing. It hurts because your emotions get attached. Mm-hmm. It's a real thing. But it's not real love. There, and I'm gonna have the community after me, and it's okay. I love you. I love you all. I was part of the community too, in church too. And so, but I feel that in the Bible, you know, in today's society, everybody's talking about like love is love and love wins and, you know, just do what makes you happy and stuff like that. And it's crazy how the statistics even show the opposite, that they're one of the most craziest, you know, high statistics for domestic violence, depression, suicide, even sickness. The wages of sin is death, and there is a wage that you pay for sin. And sometimes it's sickness, you know, and that's why there's only sickness that comes from sometimes those same-sex relationships like AIDS and HIV and stuff like that. And, point aside, the Bible says that love is patient, love is kind, love all of these things. In that same verse, if you go towards the end, it says that love rejoices with truth.
Mm.
Other versions say that love honors truth. And so it's funny because if love honors truth, the Bible says that Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. The truth is him. So love honors Jesus. And so if you're going to say that love is love, love is not love by itself. Love is an empty statement. Love is patient, love is kind. Those are full statements. And love rejoices with truth. Love rejoices with Jesus. And Jesus rejoices with that love that he has over you. And so, and it's crazy because, like I said, like sometimes people confuse that erotic passion with it being love, and it's not true. It fades away after a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. It is so true. And love is a commitment. Love is not just a feeling.
Yeah.
Love is a commitment. Love is a decision. Love is laying down your life. Love is putting that person first and their desires first while they put your desires first and vice versa.
And the vice versa part already happened because Jesus already laid down his life for you.
Exactly. Yeah, and so we lay our lives down for him. We do the same for him.
It's your turn,
right? Yeah. Mark 10:6-9, it says, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female.
Yeah.
Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife.
Yeah.
And the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh.
Yeah.
What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. So I want to encourage you, if you are dealing with homosexuality, God does not hate you.
Yeah.
God loves you. God can help you overcome this sin. No sin is too great for God to overcome. Jesus loves you and meets you where you are.
Yeah.
You don't have to clean yourself up and then come to God. You don't have to try to do all these methods to try to overcome homosexuality to come to God. God is approachable. Approach God and he will clean you up because he's a good father. Yeah. He'll clean you up. If you're all dirty, he'll put you in the bathtub and clean you with hyssop, which is soap, right?
Yeah.
Read Psalm 51. God will cleanse you.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So I hope that this testimony was powerful. Daniel, do you have any other thoughts? Maybe something?
I wish we had 1,000 hours.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite subjects that I said.
Yes.
Because we can get into so much. We could talk about the struggles that I've had with lust. We could talk about the struggles that I've had with rejection. Leading to thoughts of suicide and attempts that never really were successful, thank God, and different things here and there. But all in all, at the end of the day, I just want to tell you that I know that in that community, it's all about being, you know, about pride and stuff and about being proud. You know, and that same verse says that love is not prideful and it doesn't boast and it doesn't dishonor others. And I feel like if we were to humble ourselves, we would be able to experience this true love of the Lord. And in the word of God, it says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, would humble themselves. And then in that verse, it also says, then I would hear from heaven and I would heal their land and forgive them of their sins and all that. And it's funny because it's like, sometimes we're just too proud for God to do anything in our life. And God's really just, if he can't humble you, or if you don't humble yourself, sometimes when God has a plan with your life, he'll find a way to humble you. I know countless testimonies of people that have been in accidents or been sick or have had experiences or have broken up from a circle of people just because God has a hold on your life. And again, I feel to say this to some people that are watching. If you feel like this word is knocking at the doors of your heart, it's because the Holy Spirit is real and he's present and he's consistently seeking after you. He wants a life in a relationship with you. He wants to be able for you to experience the fullness of his presence. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If you were bold enough to come out the closet, be bold enough to come to his throne. If you were bold enough to come out of the closet, be bold enough to come to his throne. You're strong. You can do it. And so I just pray that God gives you the strength to find him while he can still be found, which is what the word says. I love y'all. Thank you.
All right. Bye, guys. Yes. Bye. Thank you, Daniel. All right. Peace out, guys.